In the second chapter of John's Gospel, this wonderful setting forth of the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, we read firstly of Jesus at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and how he turned the water into wine, and how the governor of the feast spake unto the bridegroom and was impressed that he brought forth the good wine. And in this miracle which Christ performed, he showed forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And then they went down, Christ, his mother, his brethren, and his disciples into Capernaum. And then in verse 13 we read the following, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. The disciples remembered and believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Well, if these in the temple had heard the word of God, had heard the voice of Jesus Christ, had heard the voice of the Spirit of God, and read the scriptures and believed, then they would have never been found selling in the temple oxen and sheep and doves, and changing people's money to make a merchandise out of the things of God, to make money out of the people's worship of the living God and the people's desire to follow the instruction in the law and the instruction of God. They would never have sought to take these precious things and mix them with carnal things, the making of money, and sought to make money out of God's worship. Yet that's what they did. Because in the hardness and unbelief of their heart, they took the letter of Scripture and that which God had commanded unto his people, and sought to make money out of it, sought to make a career out of it, and thought that as long as the people were doing and following the letter, as long as they had the means to offer the sacrifices, what wrong was there in selling them in the temple? In selling these sacrifices to the people in the temple? What wrong could be in this? They were enabling the people to do that which was commanded. Yet Christ's zeal for his house, zeal for the church, zeal for the temple, zeal for the things of God, zeal for the things of his Father, was such that his fury led him to chase these enemies of Christ, these enemies of God, out of the temple, and to show them for what they were. But why were these people selling oxen and sheep and doves? oxen and sheep and doves? Well, because that was what the people of God in Leviticus were instructed to bring as offerings. We read from the beginning of chapter 1 in Leviticus last week, and if you go on further in that chapter, you will read that there are three categories of offerings there. Those of the herd, oxen. Those of the flock, sheep, lambs and goats. And also fowls, turtle doves or young pigeons. Oxen and sheep and doves. But why these three? And what is taught us by these three types of offerings? In Leviticus 1 we read that Moses was instructed to speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his innards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the innards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar. And the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. So we read of these three different offerings. Those from the herd, the oxen. Those from the flocks, the sheep. And those of the fowls, the doves, which these people in the temple sold that people might offer. But why are there these three different types of offerings, and what can we learn from these three different types of offerings? And why the various instructions relating to each offering? And why the difference between each? Well, first of all, note that in verse 2, when Moses is called to speak unto the people, he refers only to offerings from the herd and of the flock. He does not refer in his introduction to the offerings of the fowls. If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. It is only in verse 14, after having described the offering from the herd, and described the offering from the flock, that Moses goes on to speak of that offering of the fowls. And secondly, note that when Moses describes the offerings from the herd, the oxen, and from the flock, the sheep and goats, that he states that they must be a male without blemish. But when he comes to speak of the fowls, there's no such mention. Simply of their type, turtle doves and young pigeons. And thirdly, note that when he speaks about the offering of the oxen and the offering of the sheep, that there is instruction regarding how they should be cut into pieces, and the pieces divided, and the parts of each creature laid upon the altar. But when he speaks of the birds, neither do we read of their sex, and neither do we read of their being divided. The priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. So why all these differences? Why in the introduction does Moses speak of the offerings being brought from the herd and of the flock and does not refer to the fowls? And yet he then speaks of this third category of offering at the end. And why are the offerings of those from the herd, the oxen, and from the flocks, the sheep, required to be male without blemish? And required to be cut up and divided into parts. Whereas there's no such mention for this regarding those of the fowls. And in fact, the fowls are specified not to be divided and cut up. Are these just random instructions? No. As with all the word of God, they're full of riches. Riches in type and figure, and pointers to the sacrifice of Christ, and pointers to the true worship of God. But what does it all mean? Well, firstly, in the natural regard, all three offerings are meek, submissive creatures. The oxen, who are herded and used by the farmers to plough the fields, to sow. The sheep, which again are kept in flocks and farmed for their wool and for their meat. And the meek, harmless doves and pigeons. All submissive creatures, not wild animals. The people were not called to go and to slay a bear or to slay a lion or some wild beast. But these are meek, submissive creatures. Figurative of the meekness and submissive nature of Christ, the Lamb of God, who came into this world as the one sacrifice for sin. The one of whom all these things are a figure. For none of these things could truly take away the sin of the people. But when Christ laid down his life, bowing to the will of his Father, bowing to that covenant in which he'd entered, willingly to lay down his life for sinners, he came meekly and put his head upon the block, as it were, and put his head under the sword of God's justice, and did not fight against it, did not resist, but willingly, out of love for his own, laid down his life for his people. But also in these three categories of animals or sacrifices, we see their different values. There were those in the congregation of Israel, those who were richer, who had herds, who had oxen, who had flocks of sheep. And they could offer their best. Some could offer their oxen of the herd. Others who perhaps did not have oxen but did have sheep could offer of their sheep, of the flocks. But there were those poor amongst the people who had neither oxen nor sheep, neither herd nor flock, but they could bring a turtle dove or a pigeon. And in this, the Lord graciously accommodates both the greatest and the least among his people. They're called to offer what they can, whether it be oxen, whether it be sheep, or whether it be dove. Elsewhere in Leviticus, we read reference to this. In Leviticus 5, Verse 6 we read, "He shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering." So the Lord graciously accommodates those who have most and those who have least. But is that all that we can learn from these three different offerings? Or is there more to the specific example of the oxen and the sheep and the dove? Yes, there's far more. The first thing we noted is that there are three categories of offering here. Three. And whenever we read of three things in the scriptures, be it three sacrifices here, or 3 days, or 3 hours, our thoughts are taken in various respects to the fact that God is one God in three persons. And to the fact that when God offered up his son as a sacrifice upon the cross, that he was slain on one day and rose again on the third day. And to the fact that when Christ suffered upon that cross and the light of the sun was taken away, that there was darkness upon the face of the earth for 3 hours. We read from John chapter 2. We read where Christ came into the temple and saw these men selling the oxen, the sheep and the doves, the 3 types of sacrifice. And then we read how Christ spake of the destruction of the temple and the raising again of that temple. "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up," he says. And the Jews said, 46 years was this temple in building. And wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Yes, Christ was raised in 3 days. But Christ, God's Son, is the second person of that triune God in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the worship of God and the bringing of a sacrifice to God's altar at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, is it not right? Is it not suitable? Is it not, in a sense, to be expected that there would be free sacrifices with regard to a God who is one in three persons? And that the sacrifices would be distinct and distinguish one from another in the way in which the persons in the Godhead are distinct and distinguished. The first offering is of the herd, oxen. The second offering is of the flock, a sheep. And the third offering is a bird, a dove. Well, do we not read in the scriptures of the Lamb of God, Christ? And do we not read in the scriptures of the descent of the Spirit of God upon Christ when Christ rose up from the waters of baptism as a descending dove? And is not the greatest of these three beasts, the oxen, that beast full of strength, force and authority, who ploughs the ground ready for the sowing of the seed? These three sacrifices, each in their own regard, point to each person in the Godhead, that one God in three persons who inhabits the Holy of Holies, that one God whom the people must approach unto and bring a sacrifice, that his wrath against their sins might be propitiated. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is made plain, as I said, in the baptism of Christ, where we read in Luke, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And in the parallel passage regarding the baptism in John chapter 3, just prior to the baptism, John cries out when he sees Christ approaching him, "Behold the Lamb of God." And following the baptism in which the dove descends upon Christ and the Father speaks concerning him, John cries out again the next day, "Behold the Lamb of God." In one passage there, in those two Gospels, we see these things brought together. The Lamb of God slain, the dove descending, the Holy Spirit upon him, and the voice from heaven of the Father, the one in authority, the one with strength and might, as it were the oxen, all three together concerning the baptism, the sacrifice of Christ, and bringing the attention of those hearers, those disciples who heard and believed, right back to the beginning of the scriptures, right back to the law of Moses and all the figures in them regarding the sacrifice which is acceptable unto God. If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, bring it of the cattle, the herd, of the flock, or if you cannot, then of the fowls, the turtle dove, the pigeon. And if they saw and if they understood, they'd see the oxen, the sheep, and the dove, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Paul speaks in Corinthians regarding the preaching of the gospel as one sows, another man waters, and another reaps. And the oxen were used to plough the fields that the seed might be sown, and that the fruit of that seed, when it grows up, might later be reaped, the first fruits. And again, this is a picture of God the Father ploughing the fields, and through the preaching of the gospel, sowing the seed. sowing the seed of Christ, who when he was slain, was sown as it were, and died as a seed dies in the soil. And then he was brought forth, as the water was poured down upon him, he was brought forth and rose again as the first fruits from the dead, with all his people rising in him from the dead. The Father is the oxen here who ploughs and causes the seed to be sown. Christ is the one sown. And the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel, is the one who waters. Which is why, when Christ was slain and the spear was thrust in his side, that forthwith came there out blood and water. The blood of the sacrifice was shed, but there was water to wash it, as it were, and to bring it and apply it unto the people of God. We read in this chapter in Leviticus of how the sacrifices should be cut up and washed, and laid upon the wood, and burnt up. Now we asked at the beginning, why in verse 2 does Moses refer to bringing the offering of the cattle, of the herd, and of the flock, but he does not mention there bringing an offering of the fowls? This is only mentioned towards the end. And why, when he speaks of the oxen that is offered, and of the sheep that is offered, the herd, the flock, does he say that the offering should be male and without blemish? And he makes no such reference to that of the fowls, the turtle doves, the pigeons. Well, is this not to be expected? When these three offerings point us to the three persons of the Godhead, first to the Father, the oxen to the Father, second to the Son, the sheep to the Son, and lastly the dove to Spirit. Firstly, the Spirit says of himself in the New Testament that he's come to testify of Christ and not to testify of himself. The Spirit always leads his people to look unto Christ and leads them through Christ unto the Father. He always speaks of the others in the Godhead and never speaks and glorifies himself. He always comes to glorify Christ. Then it is right that Moses here should speak of bringing your offering from the herd or of the flock, and should draw attention to the Father and the Son, and that the offering of the fowls should follow on at the end without such a great introduction. The dove, the Spirit, as it were, follows on and takes of the things of the Father and takes of the things of Christ and brings them to the people and says, look and behold, behold the Lamb of God. Behold Christ and him crucified. Come through Christ, the sacrifice slain, and come unto your Father, your heavenly Father. He leads, he speaks unto his people, but he does not testify of himself. He takes, as it were, the back seat. Hence Moses here introduces the sacrifices of the herd and of the flock as the most important. These three sacrifices, these three types of sacrifices, do not come onto the scene of Scripture for the first time in Leviticus chapter 1. Nor are they first referenced in Exodus, when Moses is given the law of God and is instructed to lead the people. But we read about these three different sacrifices all in one place, way back in Genesis, when God met with Abraham, and when Melchizedek had met with Abraham, and when God called Abraham to bring him an offering. God met Abraham in Genesis 15 and told him to look up toward heaven and to tell the stars, and he said, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And as a picture of this righteousness, the Lord goes on to show Abraham the sacrifice which would bring forth his righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. So God makes a promise to Abraham and to his people, his seed and their inheritance. But that inheritance comes from that seed, the seed, Christ, who we see pictured here in this sacrifice and in the horror of darkness which came upon Abraham as Abraham slept. A picture of the darkness which came upon the earth for 3 hours when Christ was made to be sin and bore the sin of his people in their place. When Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain. When Christ, the one sacrificed for sin, was slain for his people. As pictured by the heifer, the oxen, the goat, the ram, the turtle dove, and the pigeon. All together in one place, because they all concern the true worship and sacrifice of a triune God, and bring glory and honour unto God in each person, Father, Son and Spirit. You note here also in the instruction to Abraham that these animals are 3 years old. Again, another reference to the three persons in the Godhead, the 3 days of death, burial and resurrection, and the 3 hours in the darkness. And again we see that the animals were divided. But we see it pointed out that the birds were not divided. Why are the 2 birds offered but not divided? Well, obviously with them being small, they do not have the bulk to be cut up like the others. But they were offered, as we read later in Leviticus, one as a sin offering and one as a burnt offering. This is why they're instructed to bring 2 birds, 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons. Whereas the cattle and the lamb encompasses both and is divided into its parts to take away the sin and to be a burnt offering. To take away both the sins of the people and to be burnt up for the sin of the people. One for sins and one for sin. One can be shed. One can shed its blood as an offering for the sins of the people, as Christ shed his blood when he bore our sins, and the blood came forth to cover those sins. And the other speaks of the flesh, which must be burnt because it is made to be sin. And sin cannot be washed, it must be destroyed and burnt. That's why there's two. Why there's this distinction. Because sins are that which flow out of us. Sins are those things we do, those actions that flow out of us, that flow out of an evil heart. But sin is that which is within us, within the heart. Now blood flows out from the heart, as sins flow out from a sinful heart. But sin is what we are, and there's nothing that can flow out to change what the flesh is. The flesh must be birthed. There must be an offering for sins, a sin offering, and there must be a burnt offering, that which destroys what we are. Now with the cattle and the sheep being beasts of a size, they were divided into parts to illustrate that one part, as it were, covered one and one the other. The blood was poured out and the sacrifice was burnt. But with the birds being smaller, the instruction is to have two that we can see, that one is offered for the sins and one is offered as a burnt offering for sin. In chapter 5 and verse 7 of Leviticus we read, "And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he hath committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering." We're reminded of this when we read in Luke chapter 2 of Joseph and Mary going up to Jerusalem to the temple to offer their sacrifice. Now they took with them as poor people two birds. They did not have the means to offer oxen or sheep. And they went and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. They offered up for their sins and for their sin. In fact, in Psalm 74:19, we read a reference to the turtle dove, to the offering of the poor, when the psalmist cries out, "O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever." Well, are you poor? You may feel yourself to be wretched and poor, a poor sinner, without any strength, without any means, without any great riches, without any ability, unable to offer much. Well, look through the sacrifices to the graciousness of God, for he accepted the offering of the poor. He accepts the offering, the sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. What can you offer? You can offer nothing. For if the Lord, the Spirit, the dove, shows you your state, if God's dove shows you what you are, then you will bring just two offerings as two doves, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Jesus' parents were poor, but the remarkable thing about them is that when they went up with their two turtle doves, they also went up to Jerusalem with their Son, the Lord Jesus, Son Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. They had with them the richest sacrifice. And if you give unto God the poorest sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, with that you will be looking unto Christ. With that you will be pleading only his blood. With that you will be offering the greatest sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Poor though you are, if the Spirit, the dove of God, shows you what you are, you will know that your sacrifices are nothing, but there is a sacrifice given unto you of God which has already been slain, already slain on your behalf. The Lamb of God. Yes, there are three sacrifices: the oxen, the sheep, and the doves. We read of the oxen and the sheep that they must be male and without blemish. Why the stipulation? Well, if the oxen refers to the Father and the sheep refers to Christ, then one refers to the Father and one refers to the Son, both male. But there's no reference to the sex of the birds, because the birds, the doves, refer to the Spirit, who has no personification in the earthly sense of being a father or a son. But again, the Spirit of God here emphasizes the preeminence of Christ and the glory of God the Father by pointing to the fact that these two sacrifices, pictures of them, must be male and without blemish, without one spot upon them, because Christ was without blemish. He was perfect. He was made a man, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, made under the law, and the law never found one fault in him. Every other man made under the law of God, every other one that has ever lived, has been full of sin, full of rebellion, fallen every day. But Christ alone was without blemish. And Christ alone could take away the sins of his people. Also, with reference to these sacrifices, Moses says in verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. The Father was willing to offer his own son. The oxen said, slay the sheep. I will give my son for that people whom I love. And the Lamb of God, Christ, in Gethsemane, when he faced the judgment and the outpouring of God's wrath, saw the horror which awaited him, the horror of the darkness which Abraham had been shown in figure. He knew what awaited him. And he said, Lord, if it be possible, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine own will, but thine. And he voluntarily followed his Father's will, because he was one with his Father. And he loved those whom the Father loved. And he would lay down his life for those he loved too, of his own voluntary will. No man took Christ's life from him. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. He gave himself for sinners. As Paul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Did he love you? Did he give himself for you? These sacrifices were cut up and laid in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. And Christ, when he was offered voluntarily, was laid upon the wood of the cross and lifted up in the heat of the midday sun to suffer under the outpouring of the fires of God's wrath for what he was made to be, as an offering for sin and as a burnt offering, as an offering for the sins of his people and as a burnt offering for the sin. With these various offerings, we read certain references to location with reference to the altar. With the offering from the herd, all we read is about the altar and around about the altar. With the offering from the flock, the sheep, we read about it being offered northward And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And with the offering of the fowls, when their feathers are plucked, they are cast beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. Now why is there no mention of location or position with regard to the oxen? And there is this mention of the north side with regard to the sheep, and the east with regard to the doves, the fowls of the air. Well, again we see the three persons. The Father, pictured by the oxen, is all around the altar. His presence there, in the Holy of Holies and around the altar, is all around. But Christ, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, is offered up on the north side, because he became the scapegoat of the sin of his people. He was offered as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of his enemies. The north in Scripture is that location from where the enemies of Israel often descended. And the enemies of Christ came upon him and took him up and offered him up to the authorities and said, "Away with this man, crucify him, crucify him." His enemies, as it were, came from the north upon him and took him and nailed him to the cross and had him crucified. And when he was crucified, he took the sins of God's people upon himself, those who were once God's enemies, who through his death he would reconcile unto the Father. Therefore the sheep is offered on the north side. Well, what of the fowls and their feathers being cast beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes? Well, the dove, as we said, is the Spirit. And the dove is not come to testify of himself, but to testify of Christ. And when he comes, he leads his people to the east, to the place whence the Son of Righteousness arises. He points us unto Christ, and he points us unto a risen Christ, and he shows us in the place of the ashes, he shows us from the place of the ashes a Christ, the Son, arising from the dead. He says, yes, the Lamb was slain. Yes, the Lamb was burnt. But he's conquered all. He's taken away all your sin and he's risen again. And you are risen in him. So he points his people by faith to the east, where the sun rises up into the heavens, to the Son of God, the Lamb of God in glory, who rose from the dead, rose from the ashes as a sweet smelling savour unto God. As we read three times over in this passage regarding each sacrifice, that it is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Oh, how often we read this phrase throughout the whole of this book of Leviticus. A sweet savour. How pleasing were these sacrifices unto God because of what they pictured. And how pleasing is the sacrifice of Christ unto his God. The once and for all offering for sin and for sins. How much more pleasing was the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Son of God. Paul writes in Ephesians to those who would follow the Lamb, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour." Oh, by the Spirit, through the dove, have you looked to the yeast and to the ashes and offered up Christ? Voluntarily, have you said unto God, there's my sacrifice who was offered up for me. He's my only plea. And has God looked upon him on your behalf as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour? The Spirit will take you there, for the Spirit will preach. He'll preach this gospel. He'll preach. He'll take you to the cross. He'll take you to the sacrifice. He'll point out the oxen. He'll point out the sheep. And the dove will say that God is satisfied. All is well. He'll preach. And with regard to the preaching of this gospel, we read in 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul cries out, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Oh, have you heard the gospel? Do you see the gospel in these things? Do you see the wonderful preciousness and riches of these sacrifices? Does your heart burn as Christ's hearts burn with zeal for the house of God and the things of God and the worship of God? Does the making merchandise out of these precious things by so many today fill you with anger and fill you with jealousy for the glory of God? But most of all, do you look on by faith as the Spirit, the dove, leads you and points you to the east, unto a Saviour who was offered up, a lamb without spot and without blemish, as a sweet-smelling sacrifice, a sweet-smelling Saviour unto his God? Have you a sacrifice? Has that blood washed you? Has God looked upon the blood and the flesh of Jesus Christ and said, I am well pleased in him, and I am well pleased with you in him, my son, who loved you and gave himself for you?